Smartest MF-er on this show. That's what I'm talking about. What is going on? It's May the 4th. Happy Star Wars Day to everybody. And last night, the Lakers surprised at least me. Ireland, you...
What do you mean surprised?
Oh, come on. You acknowledged yesterday that they were going to be in the play-in tournament. You didn't expect a win last night.
What are you talking about? What was the coin flip before Fast Track?
Yeah, I know.
What
the coin
did you
flip
ask me?
You did call Lakers. I know.
Exactly.
I know. But have you changed your view now? Do you think the Lakers can avoid the play-in tournament? Still no?
No, a little bit.
Oh.
I think they can now.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's totally possible. The way
they played last night, they look great. I think everything hangs on Friday night.
Yes, I think the Portland game.
Yeah, because they're a game ahead of Portland. Friday night, let's just say they stay where they are. The Lakers got to play the Clippers on Thursday, but if they go into Portland Friday and let's say they beat them and they go two up on Portland, which is really three because they would have the tiebreaker, then I'm rebooking my whole trip. If
then you're going back on vacation the week of the play-in tournament.
If
nice,
Portland
nice.
Wins that game, standing pat and prepping for the play-in tournament. Now, I shouldn't do that, Mace, because it is only worth one game, and things could go sideways. I mean, there's seven games left, but I think that's how important the game Friday night at Portland is.
Yeah, I thought, John, last night the defense absolutely locked down. They held Denver to 89 points. Now, this is where it gets interesting. Drummond, 22 minutes, 4 points on 2 of 5, no rebounds. Marc Gasol spells him, 17 minutes, 3 three-pointers, 7 rebounds, and a team-best plus 17, and it looked like he was giving Jokic all the trouble he could.
And he's given Jokic trouble before. He's got a good history against Jokic. If the first round, if the opponent is ever Denver, Marc Gasol's going to play. I would argue that he should play every game.
You think he should play? Do you think he should start every game?
No.
See, I think he should start. I've completely flipped on Gasol after watching last night. Call me a flip-flopper, but I was very south on Gasol earlier in the year. I was generally disappointed with him. But when Kuzma said that the other day, and I went and I looked at, like, the most productive lineups the Lakers have, a lot of them have Gasol and Kuzma on the floor at the same time. So I'm starting to wonder if Gasol isn't, at least after last night. Somebody told me, did he get a standing ovation last night from that small crowd, Gasol?
I think the crowd recognized how good he was while he was in there. You know, the most interesting thing was, at the end of the game, he played from midway through the third quarter to midway through the fourth quarter,
yep.
Which is a pretty long stretch for him, probably the longest stretch all year. When they took him out, the Lakers were up by 8. They did not score until Frank Vogel put him back in with 1.5 minutes to go. And then they outscored Denver by 2 and won the game. So he was a clear difference maker in the game last night. The reason I wouldn't start him is I think there were assurances made to Andre Drummond when he agreed to come to the Lakers.
Right.
And if you don't honor those, I think then the chances...
Yeah, but he's gone after this year anyway.
Right, but...
They're not going to be able to re-sign Andre Drummond. He's a rental.
Yeah, but what I'm talking about is word gets around. You know, so if they told Drummond, hey, sign with us, you'll be our starting center, you'll be a key push for the, you know, for the playoffs, and then they take that away from him, then next year when they need somebody at the buyout market, they say, well, you can't trust them. They don't know
next
what they're doing. Next
year, I'm in the now, John. I'm in the right now. I want the guy on the floor who's going to give us the best chance to win. I'm not worried about Andre Drummond
next season and what
people may say. It's now.
No, you're not seeing the forest for the trees, though.
Oh,
I'm
seeing forest and trees. I see many trees and a forest.
So why, if you want the best lineup out there, why don't you want that lineup out there at the end of the game rather than the beginning?
So you're saying start Drummond but finish with Gasol.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. To me, the finishing lineup is far more important than the starting lineup.
There you go.
The starting lineup is just an ego play, right?
Ding, ding, ding.
So in other words, you start Drummond, but Gasol is the guy you rely on as you go down the stretch.
Well, here's the most encouraging thing about last night. When Gasol was going crazy and building that lead for the Lakers – the two guys leading the cheers for him on the Laker bench were Montrezl Harrell and Andre Drummond.
Nice.
They didn't want to come back in. They were telling Marc Gasol, you know, go. And the thing that Mark kind of buried last night was that was All-Star Anthony Davis who showed up last night for the first time since he's been back after the injury. That's the Anthony Davis that led the Lakers to the title last year.
By the way, John, still not quite him. I mean, he was great last night, but still not quite himself.
How?
I think he's better than that even.
I don't know what else he could have done last night. He was elite defensively, had three key blocks. He had
including the one that sealed it.
Right, he had a bunch of great, what you would call contests that made those guys shoot alternate shots. And most of all, he scored like Anthony Davis would score. The Lakers are 10-1 when Anthony Davis scores 25 or more. 10-1. So feed him. Get him 25 points.
Yeah,
Let's ride that thing a little bit.
Yeah, and feed him down low. Feed him at the post.
Michael argues, says, well, you just said all game long. Michael goes, look who's guarding Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
Like, he'll point it out to me several
times. Go to the post. Go to the block. Let him create.
Like last night, you know, at a couple of times, Aaron Gordon was matched up with AD. And Aaron's a good player, but he's not AD.
Yep.
And he said they should just milk AD until they put a taller guy on him. And I thought Anthony Davis at the end, 9 of 19, 6 of 7 from the free throw line, 7 rebounds and 3 blocks. He was great. And now that they've won that game, I absolutely think they can avoid the play-in tournament if they show up on Friday night.
On Friday night. Friday night's the key, yeah. And it's at Portland, right? Yeah, it's at Portland.
And so, the main reason why, not only because it'll probably decide who's 6th and who's 7th, but, by the way, the reason I'm not including Dallas in this is when you get a chance, take a look at Dallas's schedule. Just insanely easy. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
They're gonna, I think Dallas is gonna be either the 5 or the 6. The one thing that could screw Dallas up, Luka is at the technical foul limit.
Oh, so right. He's at 15, right?
Yeah, if he gets another one, he would be suspended for a game. And I think anybody can beat them.
But don't you think guys play under control once they've got the 15, right?
I agree.
I mean, Luka's going to control that. I can't imagine
said,
he's going to get
gonna
a
say
16
anything.
Technical.
But, okay, so I was with James Worthy today, and he told me what the other teams are going to do.
Yep.
Is they are going to, from the beginning, target him and try and get him. Like, they're going to punk him. They're gonna do stuff like, you know, pinch him and grab him under the arm and, you know, pull his shorts down and do a bunch of, they're going to try and bait him. And if he snaps just once, then that's him suspended for a game.
Okay, we got a piece of breaking news. LeBron James now expected to miss back-to-back games, Thursday Clippers, Friday Blazers, to rest the right ankle. Sources tell ESPN, this is Woj, James will proceed cautiously with the ankle injury as the playoffs approach. So no LeBron Thursday versus the Clippers, no LeBron Friday versus the Blazers, which, as John's laying out, is a really critical game for them. Does that change your view of anything?
No. As a matter of fact, I'll take that a step farther. I wish they would have announced LeBron's not going to play at all for the rest of the
regular
season.
The rest of the year,
season. Yeah. Maybe they won't play him rest of the regular season, but... And really, I'm probably exaggerating that. I just don't want LeBron's ankle to be sore in any way.
Hell
I want
no.
it to be 100% good. And if he wants to come play in a couple of games when it's 100% good to tune up, fine. But if not, if that thing's still bugging him, sit him until the first playoff game.
Let me throw you an interesting hypothetical. So if the season ended today, everything froze exactly where it is.
Right.
The Lakers would be the 5. Do you know who the 4 would be?
The Clippers.
Would you rather get the Clippers in the first round or go to the play-in tournament and get what is potentially an easier draw in the first round? Which would you prefer?
It's a great question.
Because the Clippers have won, like, is it 18 out of 21, 18 out of 22, something like that?
Yeah, they've lost 2 in a row. I think, so then they would either have to play Phoenix or Utah.
Correct.
If they made it out of the play-in tournament. Give me the Clippers so I can get the week
you
off.
You want the Clippers?
Yeah, I mean, we got to play them sooner or later.
I don't want the Clippers in the first. Give me the Clippers in the finals. The Clippers in the finals is the one, well, they're not going to get there. But the Clippers in the finals is the one. I don't want to be on the same side of the bracket as the Clippers. They're actually playing pretty well, despite the fact that they're sitting guys left and right. Yeah. Those three guys, George and Kawhi and Beverly, have hardly played together at all over the last 6 weeks.
I'm not scared of them. I think that it.
I think it's the toughest matchup that the Lakers have.
Maybe, but I mean, if you're going to win the title, let's win the title. You know, let's go through all comers. The most important thing to me is get LeBron healthy, and if he's got to play two more games in a play-in tournament, that can't help that. So I want LeBron healthy. Bring on whoever the opponent. I don't think the Lakers are scared of anybody if LeBron and AD are healthy.
That's an interesting hypothetical, though. Would you rather be in the play-in tournament or get the Clippers in the first round? 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-ESPN. You can email the show, venicemace@gmail.com. I'm always afraid I give away my real email address when I do that. venicemace@gmail.com is the right one. You can tweet us at venicemace, M-A-S-E, at L-A, Ireland, and you can IG me at venicemace. So this is a weird, silly sort of thing, but I'm going to throw it out there.
Okay.
Vivian, do you remember Catfish Vivian?
Of course.
Okay. So Vivian, quote-unquote, disappeared a couple of weeks ago. If you followed this story, it involved a tweet where somebody was on a podcast and then they disappeared. And they, does anybody have any information leading to the finding this?
We don't think there ever was a Vivian.
Well, here's the thing. The Lakers were 1-6 after Vivian disappeared. But yesterday, Vivian was back and tweeted. So they are 1-0 now after Vivian has returned.
Right, but we don't think there is a Vivian, right?
Well,
it's somebody catfishing.
Yeah, but there's somebody tweeting at that Twitter handle. And the first time they tweeted since before
what did they
the
tweet? It's not the same Twitter handle. It's actually the same Twitter handle plus a underscore.
Oh.
So
it's not Butterfly 424. It's like Butterfly 424 underscore.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's not the real Vivian.
Boy,
the Vivian story
was
like one of
the... But she's there in spirit.
You know? She's there in spirit, yeah.
This mystical person there in spirit. There is no Vivian, you idiots.
Yeah, his name is Waleed. Waleed is playing Vivian. We followed this very closely and broke it down a couple of weeks ago. A guy named Waleed is playing Vivian.
Exactly.
In his role.
By the way, you got to be careful with that stuff, though. I got an email from somebody the other day that I hadn't heard from in a while. Somebody kind of famous.
Oh, wow.
And it said, I'll tell you who it is during the commercial.
Okay.
It said, "Hi, John, can I ask you a small favor?" And that's it. That's all it said. So I wrote back, "Sure, what's up?" And then he wrote back asking for money.
Oh,
this guy would never ask me for money. But here's the weird thing. The first email came from his actual email address. The second email came from his email address with an underscore at the end of it. So that's the scam. They hack into your email. They bait the hook with an actual email from your email address. And then when you respond to it, keep in mind, they're looking at all of your email.
Yes.
When you respond, they respond back to you with a one-letter change, and all of a sudden you're sending them money. So I immediately reached out to this guy and said, hey,
you've been hacked.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Coming up next, we'll get some of your calls in here. 877-710-ESPN. Jeannie Buss made a request yesterday I want to get to. Plus.
Yeah, she actually made it on Sunday, the first game.
Oh, on Sunday.
Yeah.
And plus, is it fair to ask a kid about his quote-unquote hot mom? We got that coming up for you next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Oh.
Well, Jorge,
do you want to repeat that?
Yeah.
There you go. There's R2-D2.
Yeah,
Arthur presses all the buttons.
I'd rather be R2-D2 than C-3PO.
Why is that?
No way. You should use your wannabe C-3PO because he could speak 7 million languages.
Hey, guys, I'll tell you something. You know why Arturito?
Why?
Because of that. It's a Mexican for Arturito. So get it? Arturito.
Oh, there you go.
Arturito. Come on.
Oh, there. There.
What's Arturito mean in Spanish?
So it's appropriate. It's appropriate.
Oh.
Well, do you think that's the right order? Do you think I'd be Luke, John would be Han, and you would be Princess Leia?
No, because then that means I would have to marry John. So
that's right.
No, they never got married.
I mean, you might as well have gotten married.
And you and me would be brother and sister, Lindsay.
Yeah. Which, that sounds about right.
Yeah. So May the 4th, happy May the 4th.
We don't have to get married. Han Solo struck me as kind of a player anyway.
He was a player.
Yeah.
It's not player.
I'm Darth Vader, all right? Let's just be serious.
No, I think Morales is Darth Vader.
I'll be Yoda. Happy to be wise Yoda.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So here's the deal. So Jeannie Buss over the weekend tweeted this. During home games at Staples Center, Lakers DJ, is it Roosh?
Yeah, there's a guy in a DJ booth up above, on the end where the Laker bench is, up above where the suites are, there's a guy in a DJ booth spinning tunes.
Okay. So his name is apparently DJ Roosh, and he asked for fans to request songs to play during breaks by tweeting using the hashtag Lakers song request. So Jeannie, and I don't know if it played last night or not, she tweeted.
She did this on Sunday. She was at the game Sunday. I did not see her at the game last night. But she did a song from her seats on Sunday when they were playing the Raptors. Jeannie tweeted a song request, and then the guy played it.
Yeah, and it was Ed Sheeran and Justin Bieber, I Don't Care. That's a total earworm, by the way. So she requested that. John, do you ever, as you're calling the game, think, I think I'm going to hashtag Lakers song request right now?
No, I never have. I wouldn't be against it. Should I do it for the next game?
You should do it.
The next home game is Sunday. What would you like me to request?
Okay. Jorge, did you cue up what I said? Okay, hit it. Night Ranger, Sister Christian. Motor.
You know what I think of when I hear this song?
What?
Boogie Nights.
Oh, yes, Boogie Nights. It was the creepiest scene. It was Alfred Molina.
Right.
They were in that drug house.
Drug deal.
Oh, that was a scary scene. Yeah, and he was actually mouthing or singing Sister Christian, Night Ranger. That takes me back to my college days, John.
Either that song reminds me or the one that Mark Wahlberg sang. You got the touch!
Iola, what about you? What are you going to tweet as a Lakers song request?
Well, I would now. Do you want a current? No, you or you want like,
can
any
be
song
anything.
Ever?
Anything.
I would either go with whenever I'm doing an upbeat playlist. I always start it with "Feeling All Right," Joe Cocker, or "Peace Frog" by the Doors. Be one of those two.
All right, Jorge. What about you? Pick a song. Any song.
Let me think about it. Hang on.
Okay, Lindsay. What about you? Something from Cleveland. Cleveland Rocks?
Not for a Lakers
theme
game.
From the Drew Carey Show?
I'm trying to think. What's a good song that you play?
Okay, Jorge's got one. Jorge, what do you got? Oh, no. Damn you!
No.
Damn you! Can't get out of it. So this is an earworm that I've had. I went like an entire week. You got to get yourself together. You got stuck in a moment. And now Jorge just brought it back. Thank you, Jorge. You're the best.
Arturito.
You're the best. Yep. You're the best. All right. So this is an interesting story, John. The New York Jets selected Zach Wilson.
Right.
With their first round pick. And he did a round of interviews. And one of the things that came out, if you were watching the draft as it went along, is that his mom, Zach Wilson's mom,
yeah,
is very
super attractive.
Yeah, super attractive.
Mm-hmm.
So Craig Carton.
Jorge, that was a little creepy. That
moment. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Craig Carton from The Fan had Zach Wilson on, and listen to this exchange and tell me if you think it's appropriate.
So I check out the newspapers, right? When I wake up this morning, I go online. Let me just see what other people are saying about my guy. You know, and the headline of the Post is Zachpot. I'm like, all right, I like that. Not bad. The lead story, though, is not about Zach Wilson becoming the New York Jet quarterback. Your mom has become the lead story here. And I say that respectfully because people are like, the star of the first round of the draft is Mrs. Wilson because she's a very attractive woman. And I'm just wondering how awkward that is for you that you just got picked second overall in the draft and the focus is, wow, his mom is really hot. I assume you've dealt with it your whole life, but now it's playing out on Broadway. How awkward was that for you?
Yeah, it's not my favorite for sure. We like to keep her out of the spotlight, but she's an awesome lady and I love having her support.
No doubt. No doubt. I respect that. I had to bring it up because it is on the front page of the papers today.
Okay, so he's getting some heat over this.
Carton is.
What do you think? Is it appropriate to ask a kid who was just drafted about his quote-unquote hot mom?
Well, for a little context, Lindsay just sent us a text. It was during the Jets media call with all the reporters online.
Oh, no.
So in that context, no. I thought, but Carton is a shock jock, so, I mean, he's doing what he does. So on one hand, I probably wouldn't have asked it. On the other hand, what I always kind of go into, when you ask me questions like this, I say, what would Howard Stern do? He 100% would ask that. 100% wouldn't has. I probably wouldn't. How about you?
I probably wouldn't. I mean, it's the kids' moment. Why not make it the kids' moment?
Let's be honest. Neither of you guys definitely wouldn't actually ask him that, especially on a call with all the reporters.
Wait a minute.
No,
neither one of us wouldn't. There's too many double negatives there. Neither one of us would.
Lindsay, do you think we should ask that question?
I mean, I kind of agree that somebody should have asked it, but I think that you guys would not be the people to ask something like that. I mean,
There was an easier way to get the answer he got, which would have been rather than laying it out the way Carton did with like a 2-minute ramp up, just say, Zach, your mom's getting a lot of attention. How do you feel about it? How does she feel about that?
Bingo, you nailed it.
And right there, he probably would have given you a better answer than the one Carton teed up.
Yeah, because you kind of threw him off by asking with the long preamble, but your mom got a lot of attention tonight. How do you feel about that?
How do you feel about it? How does she feel about it?
Right. And now, we would ask that question, Lindsay.
Right. And I think that you get the same response.
Yeah, same response. Maybe a better response. 877-710-ESPN. Hey, Robert Partita emails, is Star Wars the most overrated movie franchise of all time? Only out of 9 movies, they probably have 2 good ones, and that's being nice. Fast and the Furious franchise has at least 4 good movies out of the 9.
He's compared Fast and the Furious to Star Wars?
Wow.
Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter have better good to bad ratios, yet people love the garbage that is Star Wars. Now, I'm a big Star Wars fan.
Okay, hater.
Yeah,
he is a hater. It's May the 4th.
This guy strikes me as somebody who probably hasn't seen all the Star Wars movies. Let me say this. I've only seen the first 6. I haven't seen any of the modern
you
ones.
You saw 4, 5, 6, and then 1, 2, 3.
Right. And I think Star Wars is great.
I love it.
Mean,
by the way,
I just kind of outgrew it. But like Bill McDonald and Adrian Garcia and those guys, they go like the night it comes out.
I'm their first day. And I like 7, 8, 9. Better than most people. I'm not a big fan of 1, 2, 3. If you're talking chronologically, I'm not a big fan of 1, 2, 3. I like 3, right? That's the one where we find out.
Return of the Clones?
No, 3 is where Anakin turn into Darth.
Is that the one with Hayden Christensen?
Yes, Hayden Christensen. Okay. He crawls out of the fire, and he's Darth Vader all of a sudden.
Okay.
I like that. 4, 5, 6 are classics. Those are the ones that came out in the 70s. And 7, 8, 9 are the ones with Daisy Ridley and what's that dude's name? Adam Driver.
And John
Boyega. I like those a lot. What do you think, Linz? You're a big Star Wars
person. I love them. And I think anybody who has a problem with the newer ones is just one of those one of those nerdy Star, like, and I considered myself a big Star Wars nerd, but I feel like there's like a group of Star Wars elitists that are like, oh, the new ones, they're no good because they're ruining the story. There's too much nostalgia with those. I mean,
yes.
they did throw a little bit too much nostalgia in the last one, but I thought it was excellent.
Right, because Luke showed up in the
last
one.
You know, Mason, when you were setting that up, when you were reading that email,
yes,
it reminded me of, remember how for the longest time you kept saying to me, you got to watch Game of Thrones, you got to watch Game of Thrones,
yep.
And I kept saying, I'm not into Dungeons
and
Dragons.
I'm not a dragons guy. Yeah.
I'm not into medieval. I don't do that. I'm not doing it. And finally, you and Trudell and a couple other people basically said, hey, look, just watch the first couple episodes, and if you don't like it, you can get out. And I watched the first couple episodes, and I was hooked. And then I got into it, and I watched all of them. And I would hear people criticize it, and I could tell they were where I used to be. They were people that never tried it and really didn't give it a fair shake. It sounds like to me that guy didn't watch all nine movies.
No, I don't think he watched all nine movies. I'm not a big Lord of the Rings guy. Not my jam.
I've never seen Lord of the Rings. I've never seen a Harry Potter movie.
I've never seen a Harry Potter either. Linz, do you watch Harry Potter?
No, I haven't seen any of those movies.
Jorge, what about you? Harry Potter?
Yeah, I have them all, actually.
You have them all?
Yeah.
Yeah, I never watched
Comparing the franchise to Fast and the Furious.
I know, like, that was bad.
Wait a minute, but Fast and the Furious is fantastic.
What are you talking about? By the way, they're bringing back all the characters from Tokyo Drift for the next one.
Yeah, F9 is coming out in late June. That's Fast and Furious 9, and I love it.
Not
I
everybody.
Love seeing cars drive out of planes with car parachutes. I mean, all that stuff. Jumping from one building to another.
Yeah, I love the Fast and the Furious movies. I think they're great.
Yeah, I totally dig those. We're either going to do a movie screening with Fast and Furious 9, F9, or with Scarlet Witch, or Black Widow, which comes out in early July, comes out for the 4th of July. So one of those we're going to do a screening for. We don't know which one yet. All right, John, coming up next, got all kinds of weird kind of relationship news. It involves Tristan Thompson and Ben Affleck Drake, all that.
Excellent.
Coming up next, 877-710-ESPN. You can also email the show, venicemace@gmail.com. Mason in Ireland, 710-ESPN. By the way,
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Dodgers, the force is not with them today. They're losing 7-0, top of the seventh, first part of a doubleheader at Wrigley Field. So this is it's a 7-inning doubleheader, so it's just about over. Clayton Kershaw got blown up in the first inning, only lasted one inning in that game. Hey, let's jump on the phones, Ireland.
All right, let's go to Miguel in Culver City. Hey, Miguel, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, John and Mace. First of all, John, great game calling yesterday in the Denver game. That was
much-needed
victory. Now, my thing is this. I would prefer that the Lakers play the Clippers in the Western Conference Finals like it should have been last year. But if they wind up playing in the first round, knock them out real quick, so then I will be a much more easier path. And well, Lindsay, you have become my number one fan. Welcome to the team. I love the way you give insight sometimes and give the jokes. But anyway, guys, I'm a longtime listener, and I hope that the Lakers can beat the Clippers tomorrow.
All right, thanks, man.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Got a fan.
Here's
number
David in L.A. David, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Oh, thanks for taking my call, guys. I got two things. The first is on the hot mom thing.
Yes.
I mean, like, I understand it's this kid's moment, but I think what we have here is just a teachable moment for other young athletes that, you know, the internet in this 24-hour news cycle is full of just really sort of random and weird people, and you're just going to have to deal with that. It's not, I mean, you can choose to ignore it in your personal life, but when you're kind of a public figure, you're going to get attacked from all sides, and that's one of them. So people can kind of study this and just sort of just be aware, like, doesn't matter if it's your moment, how big the stage, how hallowed the ground, these people are going to jump in here and try and mess with you. And I think the best athletes in the world, like LeBron, they're pretty good at dealing with these people. So definitely a lesson for that kid.
So you think it goes with the territory and learn to deal with it?
Yeah, basically, because what other alternative do you have? There's so much stuff now, gotcha moments, where they can make you look dumb, look weak, look sort of like easily flustered. You know, you just have to think that you're going to have to be prepared for these kinds of things.
Right, right. Cool, man. You know?
And the last thing is that Fast and the Furious, that's one of the top grossing movie franchises all time. It absolutely belongs up there with Marvel, with Star Wars, with Harry Potter, all of those. You want to be that. If you're an action movie, you want to be the Fast series. So there you
go. Cool, man. Yeah, I completely agree with him. I think Fast and Furious is a great movie franchise. Now, do I think it's as good as Star Wars? No, I don't think it's as good as Star Wars. But aside from James Bond, which is a great franchise, I would say Fast and Furious is right up there with Marvel's ahead, Star Wars is ahead. But Fast and Furious is a great franchise.
Right. Yeah, I'm wondering.
Except for Tokyo Drift. That one sucked.
I'd love Tokyo Drift. What are you talking about?
Fast and Furious 3, Tokyo Drift, awful.
No, except they have that super hot girl who can't act in Tokyo Drift. That's I mean, there's like seven reasons to watch Tokyo Drift. They've got that. They have Bow Wow making his cinematic debut after
no.
Mike.
Oh, my
Mike.
Gosh.
They have... by the way, they have the that guy, Lucas Black, who was in 42.
Yeah, I know him.
Yeah, that was kind of his. He was the quarterback in Friday Night Lights. That was kind of his big his big acting break. Tokyo Drift's fine.
Okay, I want to bounce something off you. So everybody knows, everybody knows that Tristan Thompson is back with Khloe Kardashian. Public knowledge. So
wait a minute. You know that?
I know that, Cole.
Wait,
they were.
They were
back together.
They were back together. Okay, there
you go. Pre this whole cheating scandal.
So he apparently hooked up with some girl. Then she went on a podcast to talk about it.
Spoilers.
Then Khloe DM'd her to say, hey, let's talk about this privately. The girl then screenshotted the DM from Khloe and sent it out. And Tristan has now sent a cease and desist to the woman who actually did the podcast to force her to take it down. It's interesting because here's a girl who's almost exploiting the fact that she's ruining a relationship. Drake did a similar thing. He hooked up with a girl who had been engaged for 8 years, and now that relationship is over. Does the cheater or does the one who somebody cheated with,
the homewrecker,
does the homewrecker deserve blame here, or should the actual person in relationship have the responsibility?
I always think that if you the bigger sin here is the guy who cheated. Like, she wasn't attached to anyone. She was just, now you could criticize her for hooking up with a married guy or somebody that was in a serious relationship, but the bigger sin is Tristan, right?
Right.
Yeah, I think it's more his fault. If we're doing a blame pie, I would put 70% on Tristan and 30% on the hot girl.
Boy, he picked the wrong girl to hook up with. I mean, she has her own podcast. She went on. She talked about it. She had an exchange with Khloe. He had to send a cease and desist. She sounds like a real pain in the ass.
She has extended this now for about 2 weeks. It's going on like 2 weeks since this first came out that people were talking like, oh, like, I guess she was doing an Instagram live and she was kind of like spilling the beans about some DMs or texts from Tristan. And that's how it started. That's how people found out. And then she went on this podcast. And then, like, as you explained, the rest is history. But what kind of person does that? I mean, she is now every day. It's like, OK, something, it dies down. You don't hear about it for like a day and a half, and then something else comes up.
Yeah, not only did she hook up, then she made sure everybody knew that they had hooked up.
Yeah,
that's the cardinal sin.
But Mason, you always say that the thing you care about the most is your brand. You want it out there. You want your name out there any way you can get it.
At this Venice girl, Mace, yes.
This girl's just expanding her brand.
Yeah, but she's also ruining a relationship.
Yeah, but what do you care? You only care about your brand.
How bad must people
ruin
feel
a relationship?
For Khloe?
My brand is not ruining relationships.
Think about Khloe when she reaches out to this girl. Poor Khloe has her heart broken again after she gave this weasel another chance. And then she gets her heart broken and she sends a message like, hey, I would really like to get together and talk and chat privately. Can you please keep this message private? Or she said, like, keep this confidential. And the girl screenshots that and shares that, like, oh, hey, look who's trying to reach out to me now. And it's like, what a jerk.
Yeah.
No, that's...
But by the way, I'm surprised, Lindsay, that you're more mad at this girl than you are at Tristan.
I just assume he's cheating.
I'm not. Yeah, exactly. I think, you know, once a cheater, always a cheater. I think that I know that he's the father of a child, but this isn't the first time or the second time. And I don't think it's the third time that this has been a public ordeal. He cheated on her with his sister, her sister's best friend, and other people along the way. So it's not like this is a one-time thing.
Right. No, it's not. I mean, any NBA, I mean, I've said this before. I think most NBA players cheat. It's based on just hunch.
But besides the brand, what's the end game for these girls?
Oh, this girl
they
is
just
all wanna, over
they
the
just want to get famous.
Just
yeah,
famous
she just
and
wants
attention.
Followers.
No money.
Yeah,
they don't get money out of this.
Like, they get money, Jorge, if they increase their followers, then they become social influencers, and then they can charge more.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I Googled her. I looked her up on Instagram. How many other billions of people
are
doing that?
There you go. She got everybody's attention. She ruined her relationship, but she got everybody's attention. I would argue for all the wrong reasons. 877-710-ESPN. You can email VenniceMace@gmail.com. All right, so, John, you think that my Star Wars, that's where my mind is today. You think that my Starbucks order is a real pain in the ass, right?
Yeah, it's very you. It is very Steve Mason order.
I found a way, way, way worse one.
I would have to hear it to believe it.
Okay, you will hear it. Next.
Jorge, do you still have Mason's order?
Look it up, yeah.
Yeah, look it up. We'll have it when we come back, and then I'll read you one that is absolutely worse than mine, which is hard to believe. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
This is what...
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here we go. Hey.
Like so, Jorge, should I know this song?
Hey. No, I don't think you should, John.
Okay. What song is it?
It's called La Chona.
La Chona.
This is the morning show anthem, if you would. Ask Jerome Burton. Right?
Ah,
Jerome?
Got it. Morning show anthem. There you have it. The old morning show, right?
That's it. The old one, yeah.
Yeah. Now the morning show is the Keyshawn Show. It used to be the Keyshawn Show, too. All right, so, John, we actually have, from a couple of months ago, me going through the Starbucks drive-through.
Yeah, and you come off here like an absolute jackass.
And I IG'd this, or put this on the gram.
I IG'd this?
I IG'd it, or put it on the gram, whatever. My actual Starbucks order, and Jorge has saved this for posterity. Hit it, Jorge.
Hello, how are you today?
Good, man, how are you?
Pretty good, man.
Like
a starter for you.
Got like a reduced-fat turkey, bacon, and cheddar.
Okay.
I'd like 3 Trenta iced passion teas. No cane sugar, no lemonade, but please add 3 stevias.
You said 3 teas, right?
Yep, 3.
3 passion iced teas, no liquid cane, 3 stevias.
Yep. Right? And then I'd like a venti iced almond milk quad latte.
Okay.
Add 2 stevias to that.
Oh my gosh.
That's it.
That's it.
Awesome, man. Thank you very much.
165.
And keep the tooth out the sandwich, please.
Yeah, keep the tooth out of the sandwich. So here's the thing. I learned how to make that tea at home, so I no longer have to go there. I still go for the sandwich, but that's it. So, John, you think that's awful, right? You think I'm a terrible person with that order.
By the way, were there a bunch of people behind you in the line?
Sure. Yeah, there's always a line at Starbucks.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous.
Okay, so I want to read you an order. This is from Edward. And somebody, a barista from Starbucks, actually took a photo of this and sent it out on Twitter. So here is Edward's order. It is a single drink.
Okay.
It is a venti caramel crunch frappe with 5 bananas, caramel drizzle, extra whip, extra cinnamon dollop top, 7 pumps of caramel sauce, add caramel crunch.
Oh my gosh.
1 pump honey blend, 5 pumps frap rat coffee, 7 frappe chips, heavy cream, and double blended.
That's
a single drink.
That's
a single drink.
How many calories is in that drink?
I think you
10,000.
I think you immediately get diabetes the moment you drink that.
But Mace,
I think you're in the type 2
not
category.
That much more than yours.
Oh, yes,
come on.
That's one drink.
Right.
And there's like 14 modifications to it.
But if there's only if that's the only thing he's ordering, who had more?
Do you know what
what
all those things
took
are?
Longer to order?
Definitely that one.
No.
Trying to get a barista to understand 14 different additions to a particular drink. I mean, it was just a caramel
frappe. By the way,
frappe.
What that guy should do, back when we used to be doing the show in studio, I would always order my drink on the app, and then they have like a written record of it. That's what that dude should do.
Yeah, that's nuts. That's too much. That's too much. I understand that. But he's way worse than me. Acknowledge
Think
it,
of all
he's
the
way
sugar.
Worse than me.
Not
that's
way
like
worse.
Four
he's
donuts inside
worse.
Of a drink.
Well, what
yeah,
he's ordering,
is.
No, his order is worse than yours, but the actual like time it takes in line for you to order versus him to order is the same.
I went through a period where I drank those fancy whipped cream, caramel, all that stuff kind of drink. I would never drink it now. But I used to bring one every week to do the Sunday show at Fox when I was working with Jim Lampley. And Lampley would always look at me and say, "How's dessert?" It really is dessert. It's not coffee. It's dessert. All right, John, I wanted to get to this, too. There was Will Smith. Put out an Instagram post, and it was him with his shirt off, and it was him acknowledging that he is in the worst shape of his life.
Okay.
And it is a regular dad bod picture. And it's really encouraging for all of us that have picked up a little, gained a little extra, became a little bit robust during the pandemic. Here's Will Smith, one of the biggest movie stars in the world, picking up weight too. Makes me feel better about myself, doesn't it?
Well, I always look at that as kind of like you're playing golf. You should only worry about your own ball. You should only worry about your own body. The way Will Smith looks shouldn't affect you.
That makes me feel better.
So if he gets fat, you're going to get fat?
No, it gives me, it says, see, even Will Smith had a bad pandemic with food.
By the way, what's your current weight? Do you know?
201.
Okay, so you're back up over.
So
200.
I started at 195. I went to 217.
No, yeah. Okay.
Then so I cut to 189.
And you're back
and
up
now
over 200.
I'm at 201. I've been all over the board, doing my best. By the way, Mark Wahlberg, who's like one of the most ripped guys in Hollywood,
right.
has got
yeah,
a role.
He used to do underwear commercials.
He has a role where he had to gain 30 pounds, and he sent out pictures, shirtless pictures, 30 pounds overweight. He's doing it for a movie called Father Stew. He revealed the first thing he ate when he was allowed to start packing it on. It was a 20-piece chicken nugget plus 20-piece hot wings from Kentucky Fried Chicken with a 6-pack of beer.
Oh, sounds like your lunch.
It does. It sounds that's lunch for me. John, if somebody said, all right, Ireland, you got to pack on 30 pounds for a new role or for a new something or other, what would your first meal be? Your object is to gain weight.
Steak, big nice. Steak, baked potatoes, banana split.
Nice. I like that.
Wait, can I ask, why wouldn't somebody like Mark Wahlberg just wear like a fat suit?
Those guys are all method actors. They want to get into it.
Yeah, he wants to be all methody. You know, those actors with their Meisner and all that business, their method, they all have to, you know, live in their character all the time. That's one of them acting styles that they use, the Meisner or the method, one of those things. I don't know. On the podcast, somebody will often mention Meisner. I'm like, I don't know. It's just Meisner.
Did they learn it at the Groundlings?
Yeah, they may have learned it at the Groundlings. You're right.
Oh,
yes.
Let me tuck this in before we do a fast track. So I'm doing the game last night.
Yep.
And we're talking, you know, Michael and I talk about everything. It's all over the map. And, you know, we just kind of talk in a stream of consciousness.
Yeah.
And I get a one word.
As opposed to, by the way, the script that we use for this show.
Yeah, exactly. I get a one-word text from one of my bosses at the Lakers.
Oh, God, that cannot be good.
And the word is anthracite.
A-N-T-H-R-A-C-I-T-E.
Do any of the three of you know what don't look it up. Don't Google it.
Yeah, not Google.
What does anthracite mean? I didn't know, by the way. Do you know,
I'm
Lindsay?
I'm going to take a guess. I know the people you work with.
Isn't it like... Well, Mace, do your guess first.
Okay. I'm going to say it means you're fired.
Not yet.
Okay.
But, Lindsay, what do you think it means?
I think it's like a birthstone, isn't it?
No, that's amethyst. You're not too far off.
No, Jorge, it's different. I saw it at the museum.
You want to guess, Jorge?
No, I have no
idea. Okay. So I asked Michael. I go, do you know what this means? He goes, no. And I Google it, and I look it up. It's coal, okay? It's like a type of coal, like dark gray coal. And I said, were we talking about coal or rocks? And Michael goes, yeah, I asked you guys, he did a Denver Nuggets quiz, and he said, he asked me what fool's gold is. And I said, I don't know, it sounds like if you're mining for gold and you think you have it, but it's not really gold. He goes, exactly. So I respond, is that another type of fool's gold? And he basically goes, no, you idiot. That's the color of the Laker uniforms tonight. You called them black. Clearly you didn't take Art 101. It looks black to me, too. But
What the hell? It's black. I looked at it. I thought it was black. I don't know anthracite.
It's anthracite for the artsy crowd. So the guy who designed the uniforms, apparently, and when I asked somebody today when I was golfing, they said, yeah, it's like that's the color of my car.
Right.
Is anthracite. Anthracite is like a dark gray that is almost black, and that's what the Lakers wore last night. Those are what they call their earned uniforms. The only teams that have those are the 16 teams that made the playoffs last year that earned it, and the Lakers are the only ones allowed to put any gold in it because they won the title.
Interesting.
So, but anyway, so if anyone asks you what color those uniforms are that the Lakers wore last night, the answer is anthracite.
There's a handy piece of information because people are going to ask, what color do you think those uniforms are?
Not
black. Now you know, anthracite.
Anthracite. There you go.
Hang on a second. Let's go to Phil. Phil, you're on 710 ESPN. What's up, man? Hey, Phil.
Hello?
Yeah, Phil.
What's going on, Mace?
All's good.
Man. Oh, no. I'm mad at y'all. You and John. How y'all don't know La Tiana, man? Come on, man. I live in that. Hit it, Jorge. Come on, man.
Now, Phil, why should we know this?
You must have lived around no Hispanic Americans. Every party you go by, you hear that. Every party you go by, every party.
Every party.
That makes you jump up and dance. Even if, like, when I first hear that, man, I start dancing. I love that song.
Jorge, why don't you have a party that Mason and I can attend and start dancing?
He better invite me in. He better play that song. As soon as I step in, I'm going to have everybody
dance. All right, Phil, you're invited, man. You're invited.
Yeah, Jorge, I blame you. If Phil says we should know this song, you're the cultural ambassador on this show.
Jorge, wait. I'm not mad at you or John no more, Mason. I'm mad at you, Jorge. You're supposed to be playing that every time you pull up.
Okay, we will do it.
Wow.
We will do it. Thank you, man. Thank you. All right, we should know it.
All right, guys, I love your show, man. I love
your
show. I've been listening to y'all for a long time. Great Laker fan, man. And one thing I like to say, Ireland. I love when you said, when that song came on, I mean, when y'all was talking about Young Thug, he's called me that. Oh, man, that had me busting my stomach laughing.
Awesome.
I was talking about a rapper.
Man. Phil, thanks a lot, man. We appreciate
it. Every day, man.
Thank you.
Keep up the good work, guys.
Awesome. Me gustaría escuchar la canción. Hey.
There you go. You got it, Mace.
Hey. Oh, yeah. No, I see. This is going to be the leadoff song for every single Mason party, including the big Labor Day party, which is coming soon. John, are you all in on? Do you believe you? I think you are a little bit less optimistic about the world than I am right now. Is that fair to say?
No, I will be at your party as soon as Michael gets there.
Oh, come on!
I will arrive when Michael arrives.
You know what we're thinking about doing? Tell me if this is a good idea. We were thinking about just doing a kegger. Like, we'll have drinks, but I thought, let's throw a kegger like in college.
Boy, I haven't been to a keg party in years.
I'm there.
Jorge's there. That's why I'm talking about Jorge.
I'm going to make sure Michael's there. I offered to personally drive him there myself.
Nice, nice.
He still won't go.
Michael goes nowhere without a driver. All right, coming up next for you is Fast Track, Mesa and Ireland, 710 ESPN.